This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, the East is burning red because we're starting G Gundam. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hyperspace Broadcast, a show where two real friends dig through Toonami's back catalog and try to determine what, if anything, is worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we discuss something definitely worth revisiting.
Oh yeah.
I'm just gonna say that already. G Gundam. Oh boy, were we excited to finally get to this dumb show.
I have been waiting to get to this show from the moment we started the podcast. That is not an exaggeration.
No, it is not.
We had an entire Toonami era to go through, but I was still like, no, come on, though. G Gundam, it's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll get to it eventually. And here we are. G Gundam is one of the many installments in the Gundam like meta franchise. Obviously, we've talked about Gundam many times on the podcast before. But for the 15th anniversary of Mobile Suit Gundam, it was decided that because interest in Gundam as a franchise had been kind of waning, that it should be rebooted. And so this is the first Gundam series not to take place in the original Gundam timeline.
Really? This is the first non-UC Gundam?
Yeah, it is.
I had no idea.
Everything before this was UC, and, you know, as a result, the Universal Century timeline is quite cluttered. And it was already starting to not really add up right. this is the first one that takes place outside of that timeline. In this, the year is Future Century. And,
okay.
Oh boy. So one of the, like, main goals for this series was to reinvigorate interest in Gundam. And how do you do that except by making a bunch of Gundams? Because you can sell more toys, obviously. And that's the whole goal. And this was generally disliked by the staff that were actually working on the show, which is interesting. Eventually they kind of got over it, I guess, and ended up making this show. And so we get Mobile Fighter G Gundam. The director is Yasuhiro Imagawa, who was, I guess, a protege of Tamino. So you can imagine he was probably not particularly happy to make this starting out, because the series that directly preceded this was Victory Gundam, which, from what I understand, was maybe Tamino trying to kill the franchise.
Like, his most pissed off at the toy creators and all that shit?
Yeah, right. Like, his most pissed at the production company, and, you know, that's a really weird series, and it's extremely dark in that characters die constantly. There's pretty much a character death every episode from the episodes that I've watched, which is nuts. Anyway, we're not talking about Victory Gundam, because it sucks, and G Gundam is awesome.
Did you think a horse could pilot a Gundam? No. I beg to differ. G Gundam begs to differ. Unfortunately, that horse does not show up in this block.
Yeah, but no, unfortunately, we haven't gotten to Funsaiki yet. So,
did you think a man could punch a Gundam and make it explode? No. G Gundam begs to differ.
A man on foot. So, it's Future Century 60, and basically, the nations of Earth have relocated their elites into space colonies, and to prevent war, every 4 years they hold a Gundam fight, where every nation sends one Gundam to Earth, and it's essentially a battle royale. Last Gundam standing, that nation rules all of space for the next 4 years until the next fight.
Which is interesting. There's a little bit of darkness hidden in that plot, too, where it's like, well, yeah, okay, so like, all the poor people live on Earth, all these like old monuments and shit, everyone else has emigrated to these Neo versions of previous states, like Neo China, Neo Australia, Neo America,
Egypt,
Neo Egypt, Neo Japan, and like they all, this show is so stereotypical. It's like fucking punch out levels of stereotypes sometimes.
Yeah, like I would say most of the time.
It vodka is... Drunkinsky, the Russian punch out fighter.
I think you mean Soda Popinski, Peter.
Oh, sure, yes.
Yeah, but it operates on that level of like, all right, what's Mexico? Well,
yeah,
the Neo-Mexico space colony is a giant fucking sombrero floating in space.
Yeah, with like cactuses on it.
Yeah, and the Neo-Mexico's Gundam, call it Tequila Gundam. Sure, fuck it. It's
Neo-Mexico
a Gundam
gets
wearing
the worst
a sombrero.
Of it, I think.
Like, so yeah, that's unavoidable. But the whole idea of this is that all of these Gundams are controlled by a system called the Mobile Trace System, which basically means that you pilot it by like moving around and then the Gundam mimics your movements.
Yeah, you get in this like you step in the cockpit naked, or at least Domon does.
Yeah.
And then this like layer of goop is lowered over you and it looks very painful as this like spandex suit is created around you, I guess.
Yeah, it's
complete
pretty
with
weird
a
and
gratuitous butt shot of
yeah,
Domon's
get,
ass.
Every time Domon, the main character, gets into his Gundam, we're treated to this sequence of, you know, beautiful stock footage of Domon's butt. So yeah, what this means basically is that Gundams are fighting with martial arts moves. So basically it's like a martial arts movie, except the people fighting are gigantic robots. And
it's like Gundam Street Fighter. In
yeah.
That sense.
Yeah, basically. So the country of Neo Japan sends Domon Kashu, who is a like hot-blooded martial artist guy, to Earth to be their representative in the 13th Gundam fight. But he has a secret goal, which is that he's actually trying to find his older brother, Kyoji, who stole a like experimental Gundam that Neo Japan was working on, trying to make the ultimate Gundam out of nanotechnology. So his brother stole it. This is known as the Dark Gundam.
Yeah, or the Devil Gundam in the original.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know,
right.
You can't have gods and devils. You got to have darkness and burning.
Shining. Yeah. Yeah, right. And you know, Domon's accompanied by a childhood friend named Rain, who's basically his mechanic slash moral support. It turns out that Domon's father was put into some kind of stasis as punishment for the Dark Gundam being stolen. So that's basically the leverage they're using to keep Domon in the fight. So that's the basic idea of the series. These first episodes are primarily concerned with Domon going around and fighting slash meeting the other main characters. So not to list them, but we have from Neo America, Chibity Crockett, who is a boxer, and he pilots the Maxter Gundam, which has a football helmet, boxing gloves, a surfboard slash shield, and a gun, because America.
Yeah, right. Every Gundam is like a collection of stereotypes about the country, and that equals that Gundam. Like,
yeah, basically.
I love America is like 18 sports and a gun.
From Neo China, we have Sai Saishi, who is a kid who's the last of the Shaolin Temple, and he pilots the Dragon Gundam, which is pretty much what you'd expect. It's kind of similar to the Shenlong Gundam from Gundam Wing, but a little more like, you know, fanciful. It's a lot more stylized,
they've
I suppose, is what I'm trying
flags.
To say.
Flags.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of beam bullshit.
Yes, yeah. This show is like beam cloth, beam flags, beam shackles. Anything that's good is a beam.
About the fucking
made of beam
beams. Shackles. From Neo France, we have Georges Desand, who is kind of a chivalrous pilot who acts like a knight, and he fights for the Princess of Neo France. He pilots the Rose Gundam, which wears a bicorn hat and has like a shoulder cape and a rapier, and also Rose Bits, which are like, you know, little remote controlled things that shoot lasers at you.
Yeah, like funnels in other Gundam series. but which seems like completely broken, but you know, whatever. There's no balance in this show.
Yeah, right. From Neo Russia, we have Argo Kolsky, who is a former space pirate. He was captured by Neo Russia's government, and they strapped a bomb to his chest to force him to fight. He pilots the Bolt Gundam, which is huge and bulky, and essentially it uses like kind of wrestling moves, including like no selling Doman punching it straight in the face.
And also a beam flail that it attaches to these giant like boulders to.
Yeah, so which like, works somehow.
Why does the chain of the flail have to be made of a beam? Which also
fuck
breaks.
It, whatever. Like
it gets broken by attacks, so it's like it's not like the beam makes it stronger.
Yeah, right. Of course, Doman pilots the Shining Gundam, which is kind of samurai-themed-ish, and has a special attack called Shining Finger, where essentially it has a beam hand that is used to, you know, punch stuff.
Usually just grabs the head of the enemy and then kills them.
Yeah, right.
Except, wins, I mean.
Yeah, right. The way to win the Gundam fight is to destroy the head of the opposing mobile suit, mobile fighter. And, you know, you're not allowed to aim at the cockpit, etc.
These are rules that are unfortunately repeated ad nauseum by the characters of this show.
Yes, and despite the fact that they constantly bring up rules to the Gundam fight, there are also a lot of things that seem like they should be covered by rules but aren't, like taking hostages, trying to assassinate pilots when they're not in their mobile fighters, etc.
Yeah, for a tournament that defines who rules the galaxy, you'd think they'd have a little more control over what happens.
Yeah, right. There'd be
instead, it's just kind of like a soft war.
Yeah, essentially. So Doman's fighting most of these people, you know, befriending them, blah blah blah, and he starts to track down the Dark Gundam through its use of DG cells, or Dark Gundam cells, which are its nanotech things that can, you know, raise the dead, among other things. And, yeah, you know, like directly interface a pilot with a Gundam, etc.
Yeah. It does all sorts of like merging machine and organic matter together and all that
shit.
Yeah,
right. So, like, it's a lot of like kind pseudo body horror stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so while on the path of Dark Gundam, Doman heads to Tokyo, where he finds out that Tokyo is under attack from an army of mobile suits called Dark Army, Death Army in the original version. And he meets
Death Army was too dark, so he changed it to Dark.
Yeah, right. and he meets the best character in the show, his former martial arts master, Master Asia.
The undefeated of the East.
Yes, the undefeated of the East. An old man who is pictured several times just standing on the back of a horse.
Yeah. Why?
And I don't know. I don't even know what to say about him. He's awesome. He destroys a bunch of mobile suits with his bare hands, which is completely fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he's a great character because he also kind of shouts all of his dialogue, seemingly.
He actually brings out a different emotion from Domon besides whiny angst. Like, at some point, he just talks to Domon and they laugh and stuff. Yeah, Domon's just kind of a dick the whole series. So
Domon is a real asshole to pretty much everyone he meets.
Especially Rain. I considered this show maybe should be renamed Rain's Shitty Life. Just because, you see, she is like such a side like female supporting character who just is constantly like having to do the dirty work of cleaning up after Domon or chasing him down when he just wanders off.
Yeah. And then like, he's like a total asshole to her in return.
Always.
he's a total prick. So that's what's happening in the show so far. Let's move on to our zeniths and nadirs. Peter, what was your favorite episode? I know what it was, obviously.
Yeah. Speaking of Master Asia, it's episode 12. He's the undefeated of the East. Master Asia appears.
Yeah, like he's a this fucking competitor in Super Smash Brothers. Like,
yeah, yeah. A new challenger. Master Asia shows up in this episode for the first time. This is when Domon's called back to Tokyo, just like you said. And this Death Army is attacking. The basic of this plot is that, like, they reunite. Domon tells him what's happened. Master Asia tells him what's going on now with the Dark Army and how that's a thing. all of like Japan has been, all of old Japan has been destroyed except for the, like this one tower.
Or at least Tokyo. Yeah.
And the Dark Army is responsible and they're just fucking everything up. So they've got to defend this tower as like a horde of Dark Army attacks. This episode is like everything I wanted from the G Gundam rewatch. Like, specifically, like, what do you got? You got like the absurd martial arts shit. Of course, Master Asia's running alongside the Corlander, which is like a jet, and he's running alongside it at speed.
Yeah,
because
right,
he's anime.
He's awesome.
Yeah. And he just jumps and grabs Domon's headband and wraps it around the head of another Gundam using like cloth martial arts, which I've seen in a couple Chinese martial arts movies where like people use cloth as like a weapon and can make it like steel. And it's fucking awesome. He like uses his headband to wrap around the Gundam's head and rips it off.
Yeah,
even though it's
Dark
like,
Army's head, but still, yes. It's
yeah, even though it's like a fucking headband. Like, I don't know how he made it that long, but
whatever,
you know,
dude, it's awesome.
Anime.
Like,
there's later on, they like are basically in like a more literal interpretation of Dynasty Warriors Gundam than the actual game is. In that they're fighting like hordes of faceless fucking Dark Army guys. And then they're doing these combo attacks. Fucking Domon.
Inexplicable attack.
Yes, this inexplicable attack in which he like turns Master Asia's Gundam into like a Kamehameha blast by like spinning him really hard or something. And so you just see it, and it just looks like this like beam blast that he's holding, but it has Master Asia's head sticking out the top, which
yeah,
looks so fucking dumb.
It's so weird looking. Like,
yeah, he launches him forward, and he like wipes out like the entire army along that line, and it's just like, yeah, the ultimate technique. It's like, how was that? Why was his head poking out when he's in his Gundam? Like, what? This is so dumb.
I mean, the best part about this episode, too, is this is the first time where they start doing that thing that you see occasionally in martial arts movies where, like, they'll show kanji characters on screen that
yeah.
presumably are the name of the technique that was just used.
And trust me, there's no effort to translate those.
Yeah, no one bothered. So, I don't know, like, that's just an additional bit of flavor
yeah.
that's really awesome. I would say that this is my favorite episode, too, frankly, because this is exactly what I wanted out of this show. Like, pretty much the other 11 episodes, I was just like, when the fuck is Master Asia gonna show up? Because I know he's crazy.
Right. I've seen, like, Domon kick a guy, you know, or, like, kick a building in half or some shit. Or,
yeah,
that's what
right,
I've heard
right.
about. And this is, we're getting to that element. But also, there's also, like, some of the darker elements of the plot show up. There's, like, kind of more subtle, dark elements to the show in terms of, like, design and plot. Usually it revolves around kind of the body horror, biomecha shit of the DG cells.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens in this episode in a really cool way. They, like, knock down a Dark Army suit that, like, jumps out to attack him at the last minute, like the end of Die Hard. And because that's the only thing where someone attacks you at the last minute after a
yeah,
battle.
Yeah, right, you know.
And so it's just like Die Hard.
And then Al Powell
then they...
shoots the Dark Army.
Yeah, they knock open this cockpit, and this like they see like the pilot of the Dark Army thing, and it's like this skeletal husk, like just a skull that's attached to all these like mechanical things and stuff. Pretty
yeah,
much like
yeah.
as if like undead skeletal forms are basically enslaved to the cockpit by the biotechnological horror that is the DG cells.
Yeah, it's really like a techno zombie kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, I just thought that was so fucking awesome. And, you know, just like Die Hard.
Just yeah, like Die Hard, Die Hard. Very, very biotech horror stuff.
Well,
that.
You find out, yeah, you find out that
John McClane gets his feet
yeah.
replaced by robot feet because they're all
yeah,
cut
yeah.
up from walking
they slowly
on that glass.
Take over his body.
Yeah, right.
And all he can do is run on glass. Basically, this episode pulls off being really, like, really cool and really, really stupid. More stupid than cool, but it still pulls off doing both those things at the same time, and I think that's, like, pretty rare and awesome.
Yeah.
What was your favorite episode?
So, that was my favorite episode, but...
what was your other favorite?
I was not spoiled for choices. I ended up picking episode 1, Gundam Fight Begins, the Gundam that fell to Earth. In this episode, Domon fights the Neo Italy Gundam pilot, and man,
right.
like, again, you know, we're going to state this many, many times, obviously, but like this conception of Italy is so brilliant in that it is the Neo Italy Gundam pilot is a mafia boss. And at one point, Domin is being interrogated by a police officer. And as a form of interrogation, he shoves Domin's face into a hot pizza.
Yeah, to make him talk. Dude, I'd be like, give me more of that pizza. I'll tell you anything.
It's one so of the weirdest stupid. Scenes. And then I mentioned...
Because Italy, though, right? Like pizza. Yeah, right.
I mentioned this, I think, in our last mini-sode, but this is a guy who kicks and has, like, energy blasts out of his legs. He kicks a bullet out of the air at one point.
That reminds me that Domon gets surrounded and fired at by, like, the squad that killed RoboCop. Like, he gets shot by, like, a billion guns at once, and he just catches all the bullets. It's like, I'm not even in the Matrix, I'm just Domo.
Yeah, right. Like, that...
I forgot that happens
that
in that episode.
That is one of the most anime moments of this show, too, is that he's just holding the bullets between his fingers and, like, drops them. Yeah. It's so... Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so good.
So, yeah, like... This is not a great episode, but it is like a pretty good introduction to the series, just in how crazy things get. It's a good introduction to the fact that despite the many regulations of the Gundam fight, this Neo Italy guy immediately takes a little girl hostage in order to, you know, make Domin come fight him without his Gundam or whatever the hell.
He's just a violent maniac. He definitely doesn't look like a stereotypical, like, it's not, usually the looks of the fighters themselves are not stereotypical. Like, this guy definitely, he looks more like a Visual K kind of, like,
that's
gothic anime guy.
That's true. He doesn't have, like, a big flashy suit or anything.
Yeah, and he's or smoking a cigar as a big fat guy or something.
Although I kind of wish that would have been amazing.
We need to describe stereotypes. Oh, God, the pizza. And then at the end of the episode, the police detective who fucking hates Gundam fighters because they, like, treat the Earth like a battlefield.
Yeah,
like,
and they destroy towns. Them. Yeah, that's the other thing.
And they constantly tip over. They constantly
monuments,
tip over.
Yeah, that's true.
National monuments.
So many times in the show are we treated to, like, establishing skyline shots of like, a city. You know, like Paris.
It's old Paris. Yeah.
But then the Eiffel Tower's just, like, tipped over.
Like, yeah, it's, like, slightly tilted.
Yeah,
and
it's, like
droopy
bent in half, kind of.
Dumbest way.
It's hard to even explain. And then it's like, oh, man, we got London. Big Ben is tipped over a little bit.
Yeah. Like, they go to Neo Egypt. You said this. You're like, I'm half surprised the fucking pyramids aren't tipped over.
I wish. But yeah, that's one of the funniest things.
What I was saying is, he gives Domon the pizza in the end after Domon's proven he's a good guy. Like,
yeah,
here's the pizza.
His reward is pizza.
It's fucking great.
But the other thing about this episode that's kind of nice is this is so far the only episode that really states or emphasizes the idea that the Gundam fight is pretty shitty for the people who live on Earth.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is an interesting element, and so far it has not been followed up on really, but who knows, maybe it will be in the future.
I think it's just more in the background, kind of unfortunately, because, like, you see that, like, life is shitty for most people on Earth, like, everything's always, like, fucking destroyed.
Like, yeah,
pretty much
right,
any town
right.
they go to is just kind of in ruins. And people seem kind of poor, but they don't, like, directly state it and tell, like, stories of people like they do in this one.
Yeah, right. Exactly. In this one, we actually, because, of course, we don't have other characters to focus on, we basically have some civilians who live this shitty life. And beyond this episode, we never really focus on civilians in any sense. It's all about the Gundam fighters, so the focus is kind of removed from that element of the plot, which I think is kind of interesting and sort of a role reversal from UC Gundam 2, because in UC Gundam, the poor people were shipped off to the colonies and the rich people live on Earth, so I don't know. But it should also be mentioned that all of the colonies are not like in any other Gundam series, if there are space colonies, which there usually are, they are based on fairly plausible, like, real designs for what a space colony could be, like the O'Neill cylinder, etc. In this show, the space colonies are big floating hunks of rock. For example, Neo Japan is just Japan in space.
Yeah, it's just the continent of Japan flying in the air.
The islands.
Shut up. And Neo America is just a star with like the with the Statue of Liberty in the middle.
As we've said, Neo Mexico is a big sombrero. Neo France is like on a bed of roses, although it hasn't been shown yet.
So
the space colonies are completely ludicrous and unrealistic, which is another thing that kind of adds to the show's charm. Like, the show is not taking scientific rigor too seriously at all, which
is interesting. But it does take itself seriously, just enough.
Right. So what was your least favorite episode?
My least favorite was episode 10, Terror of the Phantom Fighter. Now, honestly, I enjoyed watching many of these episodes, and they're not always the best TV shows to watch, but they've got like so much stupid shit on them that it's really funny to just riff off of.
Yeah, sure.
And to me, that has value. I know it's not like the same as a good show necessarily. So this one, it was a little hard to say because it's got some of the stupidest shit in the fucking show in this episode, but it's also just irritating.
Yeah, that's the real problem with this one.
Yeah, this one is they go to Neo Egypt and fight. Well, what do you think Neo Egypt's Gundam is?
It's Mummy Gundam. But there's a twist.
Yeah, the current Mummy Gundam crew is killed by a mummy. And it turns out, like, fucking A, like the undead former champion of the Gundam fight for Neo Egypt.
Yeah, a man named Dahal Muhammad.
Yeah, he's come back from the dead as a mummy, and he gets in a Gundam that is also wrapped like a mummy.
Yeah, an older version of the Mummy Gundam is the Gundam that this mummy uses.
And so Domon gets clued into this, like, oh, maybe it's DG cells because something's back from the dead. And Saishi is there, and the mummy has a grudge against Saishi because the one who defeated him and accidentally killed him in combat was a Neo Chinese Gundam from the past.
Yeah, it was like Saishi's like master grandfather, I think, and he piloted the Dragon Gundam too, so, you know.
And so, but just the fact that, like, you look at this, and, like, the whole episode is pretty annoying because Saishi's constantly screaming and freaking out about ghosts.
Yeah, Saishi's voice actress is not bad, but, like, Saishi as a character is pretty irritating.
Yeah. The voice actress sounds so similar to the voice of Gohan.
Which is bizarre. Because
it's not.
Yeah, we thought it was. This was dubbed by Ocean, which is, you know, kind of nice. We're back in the Ocean territory.
Yeah, we're back in the Ocean.
Sadly, no Scott McNeil. But this voice actress actually did dub, like, Kid Goku in the UK version of Dragon Ball.
Oh, that is wild.
Yeah, right. So she sounds almost identical to Gohan, but isn't.
Little Kid Gohan.
And also dubbed a character who sounds identical to Gohan.
Yeah.
It's really weird to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. But Sai is just crying and complaining the whole time, and they go into this tomb, and it's fucking A. Like, Neo Egypt, after their Gundam Fighter won and he died, built a tomb and mummified him and his Gundam. Like, I just realized that today when I was thinking about the episode.
Right.
It's like they go into the tomb and there's like a Sphinx with a Gundam head. It's that fucking stupid.
Yeah, they built him a Gundam themed Egyptian tomb.
Yeah.
To, you know, rest
and
in
wrapped
for eternity
his Gundam
with his Gundam.
And wrapped his Gundam in paper like he's being mummified. Why not?
Cloth, not paper, but
sure. But he comes back and, you know, Domon kills him with a fucking shining finger after Saishi fights him honorably or something.
Yeah.
It's whatever. That's how it usually ends. We do get some cool shots at the end of like the fucking naked, like melting corpse of a Gundam as it tries to self repair itself. And it's
that was
some
pretty
cool. Kind of like Akira-esque, like biotechnological, like morphing shit going on where it's like trying to reform its body. But, you know, it's otherwise it's just like, okay, it's another episode where at the end, Domon uses Shining Finger and wins. And
Yeah, I don't know. Saishi's okay. pretty annoying.
And Saishi's like, really annoying. That's the main problem with it, really. What was your least favorite episode?
Mine was episode 6, Fight Domon, Earth is the Ring. So this episode is concerned mostly with filling us in on backstory of why Domon is in the fight and the Dark Gundam and stuff, which is kind of interesting. Like, yeah. I think the backstory works.
This is where we learn that he's being pressed into it because of the Dark Gundam and all that other extra shit.
And, you know, I think the backstory works on the level that the show works generally. Like, it's pretty cheesy, but you kind of can't help but like it because I like cheesy stuff. But the thing that really kills this episode for me is that this whole, like, it's basically a flashback episode, but instead of just doing that, there's this really weird, convoluted explanation where Ulube, who's the, like, you know, Neo Japan's military leader and Neo Japan's, like, prime minister guy, are inducing some kind of hallucination in Domon so that he relives all of these, like, memories about the, you know, meeting his family again after he came home from training, and then Kyoji stealing the Dark Gundam. And it's just so pointlessly convoluted. Like, I don't understand why it isn't just a flashback episode.
Why do you have to weirdly induce the memories into the main character instead of just showing us what happened? There's no reason to do so.
Yeah, it's such a, like, just weird, convoluted explanation that doesn't need to be there. So it sucks, frankly. And again, like, this isn't a show where I would say I was spoiled for choice in what I would say was my least favorite episode, because there are a lot that are of just really dumb things. Like Tequila Gundam, Domon fighting a mummy. Like, the show is so crazy, but this episode is just completely convoluted for absolutely no reason, and it sucks. On the plus side, it does feature the Shining Gundam going into its, like, ultra mode, which is basically Super Saiyan, and we're just going to call it Super Saiyan from
it
here on.
It turns gold.
Yeah, it literally turns gold, and that
and
moment
it does
is
it when
pretty
Domon
awesome.
Gets mad. Enough.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's exactly the same. Also, when it draws its beam saber in this mode, the beam saber says G Gundam on it.
Yeah. Oh God. That happens in the opening too, like in the opening
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, right.
The
they
opening,
use that same animation.
Footage. Yeah. Which is, like, the dumbest thing in the world. It's like, yeah, I'm going to pull out a beam saber that's... Like, what if I turn on a lightsaber and it said Star Wars on it for the, like, beginning of Star Wars?
Or like, Luke on it, because...
Yeah.
Because technically, the Shining Gundam is the G Gundam, because G Gundam is God Gundam, but they can't say that in the dub.
No, I think Burning Gundam is God Gundam. I think the one he gets upgraded to later. Spoilers.
Okay. But yeah, that's whichever. God Gundam.
Either way, it's dumb as hell. Why would it say G Gundam?
It's totally goofy and pretty awesome. And as I said while watching it, I hate that I'm getting chills while watching this stupid fucking show. Like,
that was so fucking funny to me.
Just sitting here like, this is not good enough to be inducing this reaction, but damn if I don't love a hot-blooded anime character flipping out and getting stronger, I guess. Yeah. Like,
oh, man.
Ugh, this show's crazy.
Oh, that's so stupid.
Well, we're going to go to a break. When we get back, we'll talk more about what we thought about this show and then what we're going to be watching next, and we're going to figure out a bet that hopefully... actually happens.
Yeah. What a concept.
Answer me, Domon. The school of the undefeated in the east.
The winds of the king.
Zenshin.
Keiretsu.
Tenpa Kyoran. Look, the east is burning red.
G Gundam will return in a moment. Hey there, everybody, this is Michael, doing what I always do during the break, tell you some stuff that you may already know or have intuited. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Dive In, and the music we use for the bumpers is Monkeys, both by Anatech. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode will release June 19th, and next week catch a mini-sode where we discuss Giant Robo, the OVAs. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for mini-sodes via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter at HBpod, or email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com.
This hand of mine glows with an awesome power! Its burning grip tells me to defeat you! Take this, my love, my anger, and all of my sorrow!
And now, back to G Gundam. We're back to talk more about G Gundam. Peter, what did you think about this show so far?
Oh man, it's everything I could have asked for. It's just so goddamn stupid, but it takes itself seriously, like just enough to be funny, like consistently funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's funny for the wrong reasons most of the time. Like if a show's that stupid, you like if I'm just laughing at how stupid it is. It's not really trying to be dumb. It's just I think trying to be cool in really weird, dated ways towards a different culture.
I guess I'm sort of on edge between like they had to know
at some with some things,
some of the
sure.
stuff was really ridiculous. Like there's no way that someone was like, yeah man, the fucking Mummy Gundam is in a tomb with a with a Gundam face on it. Like it's so insane that I have to assume that they were being at least a little bit silly on purpose.
Yeah, well, and I can't help but be a little intrigued by like the Dark Gundam plot line. Particularly, it's like dark sci-fi elements, to use the word dark too many times.
Like, sure.
I like the concept of the virus corrupting organic life and turning it into like a self-repairing machine amalgamation monster. And it like sometimes it's pretty well realized in the show's art design, like when you see the Dark Army pilot or the shambling remains of the new Mummy Gundam repairing itself. And other times it looks like shit. Like there's one part where they show like a lab rat was introduced or exposed to DG cells, and it like turns into what looks like thrown out Beast Wars concept art. Like, you know what? No, we want Rat Trap to not look like this. You know, it was an idea, but no. Like, this stupid-ass, mean-looking cyborg rat. But, like, generally, I think it, like, you know, it's just enough taking itself too seriously, just enough really stupid, with a little bit of, like, actually interesting stuff that kind of makes it for, kind of makes for a show that I really want to keep watching.
Yeah, I think the show's really dumb. But also, I don't know, like, to be honest, these first 12 episodes I wasn't super into. It's funny, but like I just don't care about any of the characters, and like I don't know, there's just missing something for me. Mm-hmm. That is, until we got to episode 12, and now I'm on board, because if there's more crap where Master Asia in a Gundam spins around so fast, but his head remains still, that he turns into like an energy ball, and then he's thrown at a bunch of enemy mobile suits. That is exactly what I wanted out of this show. And
yeah, we were like shrieking watching that. It's just like too much.
It is amazing how goofy it is. Like, oh man. And just Master Asia in general, like, as I said, I feel like he shouts all of his lines. He just says so much ridiculous stuff.
When he and Domo meet, they have like a chant for their martial arts school. They're like, look, the east is burning red. And they like chant all this stupid shit. It's really awesome.
It's crazy. So like, yeah, it's dumb, but I do think it's coming from like a somewhat genuine place. Like it doesn't feel like, you know, generally when I think something's dumb, it falls into one of two categories. It's either like, you know, earnestly dumb or like asylum dumb, where no one really tried to make it good at all. It's just like, haha, this is just a cynical bad movie.
Isn't this ridiculous? Sharks in a tornado, right. Piranhas like, in an avalanche.
Yeah, right. And that like that level usually doesn't work for me. Every once in a while it does, but the thing is, this felt earnestly dumb in a way that is kind of charming, as stupid as it is. And yeah, Mummy Gundam, like, good lord.
I am so excited to see what's next.
Yeah, and I am a little curious about the DG cells thing too. God, they're called cells. Dark Gundam cells.
Like, there's a reason they shorted it DG, because calling something a Gundam cell is really stupid.
But you know, I'm kind of interested in where that plot is going. Like, I'm sure that there will at least be crazy things, if not necessarily awesome things.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. It's a fun show so far, despite being very dumb.
This show has a lot of consistently stupid shit. Sounds like the makings hopefully a good fodder for a bet. We've had a couple duds lately in terms of bets, like where we think something's going to happen and then just they just decide not to do it anymore.
Yeah, so what do we have a couple of options. I like the dome and butt shot thing, but I think we should save that one.
Because I will say, I know I have a little edge on that one because I'm pretty almost positive that I recall that it like starts happening less and less as the show goes on.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we still have it for this block. I just don't know how often. I think it's like maybe the second half of the show they kind of phase it out.
Yeah, one of the things that happens a lot in this show that just gets under my skin is that characters will challenge each other to Gundam fight matches, which is just a clumsy phrase.
Yeah.
And I get it. And, you know, it usually happens about once per episode, but
just call it a Gundam fight.
Yeah, right.
They have to call it a Gundam fight match.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a weird, unwieldy phrase. So basically, I think that maybe we should do like how many times people say Gundam fight match in the next set of episodes.
Okay. Yeah, that one's like so unpredictable.
So what do you think? What's your bet?
That one's hard to say because they didn't. I feel like they didn't do it too much this block, but 5 times. I'm gonna do that.
All right, seems a little low to me. I'm gonna say
I thought it was high. I thought they only did it like 2 or 3 times.
They definitely did it more than that. Okay. I'm gonna say like 8. I think I don't know.
Times?
That might be high, but it seems plausible. Yeah, I'll lock in at 8.
Five to eight. All right.
Well, coming up next, we are going to be watching a couple episodes of the Giant Robo OVA.
For a minisode. Nice.
Yeah, right. Because that is directed and written by the guy who directed this series. That would be Yasuhiro Imagawa. So it's also a classic, you know, series. So I figured that it would be a good thing to check out. And in theme with G Gundam, kinda.
Yeah.
So we'll be watching first 2, maybe 3 episodes of that. And then after that, we'll be getting back into G Gundam, getting deeper into the series with part 2. That will be episodes 13 through 24. And, you know, hopefully more of Master Asia yelling at stuff and shouting that he's the undefeated of the East.
Of course, yeah.
But until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week for Giant Robo. Thanks for listening. Follow us over at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter at HBpod, where we post all of our episodes as well as additional video content related to what we've been watching. This is also a great way to get in contact with us. Of course, subscribing on iTunes is also a surefire way to stay up to date, and while you're there, consider leaving us a review. We really appreciate it. See you next week for Giant Robo.